Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Attention all theater lovers, this Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
You're listening to Stagecraft, Variety's theater podcast, bringing you in-depth interviews with the creators of the hottest shows on Broadway, off-Broadway, in London, and around the country. I'm your host, Variety's theater editor, Gordon Cox. One of the most talked-about musicals of last season wasn't on Broadway at all. It was the off-Broadway premiere of The Band's Visit, the new musical that won raves from critics when it opened in 2016, and, after racking up a slew of off-Broadway awards in the spring, it's opening on Broadway in November. My guests on Stagecraft this week are the cast and creators of this buzzy new musical, starting with two of its stars. In the studio with me are Tony Shalhoub, the actor you'll know from TV shows like Monk and movies like Big Night, and Katrina Lenk, who's had a breakout year with performances in both Band's Visit and the Broadway play Indecent. Katrina and Tony, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us.
For the listeners who haven't seen the show yet, Band's Visit is based on a 2007 Israeli movie about an Egyptian policeman's band that gets stranded overnight in a tiny desert town in Israel, and the fleeting connections that form between the visitors and the townspeople. But really, that's just the plot. What is it about for you? What is it really about for the two of you, do you think?
Well, it's interesting that, yeah, you tell the story of this play, of this musical, and it isn't really so much about the story. Ultimately, it's really more about the kind of mood that's created, the kind of visual, almost mirage-like visuals that are created, and this haunting, mysterious music and these beautiful songs. It's a mood. It's kind of a mood piece. It's got everything in it. It's funny and it's kind of warm, and it seems on the surface like it would be politically charged, but it does.
Yes, actually, we should make clear, right, that these are a group of Arabs who are stranded in a teeny tiny Israeli town.
Yeah, they're
right,
an Egyptian police orchestra that wind up, you know, in this little enclave. Israelis and strangely it sidesteps politics and it's just about these connections.
Is that
And I was talking with one of our cast members, George Aboud, the other day, and he made this really great point that the show is about what happens when you take a chance, like even a tiny chance. You take a little risk and you see what happens. So all of the characters make little steps forward in what happens if I say yes. And I was like, that's very good, George Aboud.
Yes. Exactly. George is so smart.
Tell us about the characters you play.
I play Tufik, who is the, I guess, the band leader, the conductor of this little police orchestra. And he's a bit shut down. He's a bit locked down, and he, as Katrina just quoted George as saying, he decides to, you know, kind of open up a little bit, or he meets this person who helps him to open up a little bit, and goes through these small transformations.
And that person is Katrina?
Yes.
I played Dina, who is the, she runs the one cafe in town. And she is the first person that the Egyptian band encounters. And they discover that there's this problem, that they're in the wrong town. And so she's the one that says, hey, why don't you stay with us tonight? We'll make room for you.
There is no hotel or any kind of accommodations in this little village.
So I think she, you know, is as well damaged in is, you know, a flawed human being. However, in this one moment, she decides to do something good. She's maybe not a nice person, but she does something good. And in the way that Tufik is maybe closed up and unable to express himself, Dina is very open and aware and ready for things, I think.
I think a lot of people who might not know much about the piece going into it might be surprised about the style of it. It's not big or flashy or razzle-dazzle like what we tend to think of as, you know, big musicals. It's sort of gentle and tender and quiet, and it seems to place as much emphasis on what isn't said or sung as what is. Is that a different challenge for you as performers as opposed to performing in something more overt?
The real challenge that I find as an actor is that there's, because as you mentioned, there's silence and the unspoken, the unsaid is so key to this story and to these characters, these relationships. The challenge for me is that there's a certain amount of restraint that you have to kind of keep in mind in performing this piece. We have a tendency as actors to want to sort of like spill everything and demonstrate everything and emote, and this particular piece calls for us to kind of keep some of that in, and strangely what happens we find is that the audiences have begun to experience that inner emotion. It's kind of in a way offered up to them, and they're aware of the depth of these characters and everything and their predicaments, but the characters aren't sort of leaking it out onto the stage.
Does that equate at all to working on screen in film and television, where you can often be more intimate because there's a camera right there in their face? Like, are there any similarities?
I don't really think it's that the exact same thing as acting on film. This is because the demands of the stage, especially now that we've moved from a small off-Broadway venue to a large Broadway venue, there's, you know, you still have to kind of push it out there, but it's a strange dichotomy of trying to keep that energy out going outward while kind of containing emotion.
And now, Katrina, you play an instrument in this, yes?
No.
Oh, you do not? Oh.
No, I just get to listen.
But you can play an instrument is why I seem to remember that you did,
yeah,
right?
I play the viola, violin.
Right. You played that in Indecent, yeah? And
a little bit,
and,
yes.
And in Once as well,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
right.
It's really a pleasure to get to just witness it happening. We have some amazing musicians on the show, so I'm happy for them to do it.
Yeah. And have you ever sung before, Tony?
No. Not in public.
And then how did you come to the project? And
I don't know, because I kept trying to tell them and explain to them that this was going to be a bad idea, and no one seemed to listen or pay attention.
Because you do have a song, if I'm remembering.
I do. Well, I sing.
She sings beautifully.
I sing, and then I sing a little by myself, and then we sort of sing together. It's a, sort of a duet thing, and it's been terrifying, but I've had a lot of help and a lot of support and coaching, and also I'm surrounded by these amazing singers who have done musicals and are known for their skill.
And Band's Visit takes place in a very specific locale with very specific, you know, cultural references and a very specific political situation. How much did you know about the region and its culture and its politics? And then how did you learn, or did you need to learn further going into the show?
I was admittedly ignorant of a lot.
But you traveled there recently.
We got to go there recently.
That's going
to
be my next question. Don't you worry.
I've jumped the gun.
But I think if you don't live in a place, even if you know tons of history about it, you're still ignorant of it in a way. Unless you live there, there's still like a lack of experiential knowledge. So I've, you know, read about the history of it and still learning things. It's so complicated and so unique, that whole area. And reading works of fiction from Israeli writers, you can get a sense of like
what? What'd you read?
Edgar Keret's books, really funny and dry and absurdist sort of short stories. But they give you a sense of like how would an Israeli write about what it's like to be an Israeli. So similar, and also Oren Kaliran, who wrote, you know, and directed the movie, we got to spend some time with him in Israel and talk with him. And so I've spent a lot of time talking with Israeli people, and also then when we got to go there, that was lots of information.
Yeah, and that was, did you go as well, Tony, or no?
I wasn't able because I was working, but okay. I've been there, and I've been there before.
Right.
It's been years now, but I have very, very vivid memories of the, you know, the place and the feel.
Yeah, and what do visits, Katrina, for you specifically, what did that visit give you and give to your performance that you didn't have before? What sort of understanding did it give you?
Well, I don't know if it'll give anything to my performance. Like from the outside, I don't know. I hope so. But inside, I don't have to imagine what would the sand feel like. I don't have to imagine how hot it is, or the sun, or the wind, or the smell, or the taste, or just the way that gravity feels there. I don't have to imagine any of that. Like now I know there's like a sense memory that's already in there, which is such a gift because you so often never get that. So it feels like cheating a little bit. And also to be with the people that live there is, I don't even know how to explain what that feeling is. I don't know what words there are to express it, but it's I don't know how to say it.
What's your favorite story from the trip? What did you come back and tell what did you all come back and tell Tony about?
Oh gosh, there are so many. The number one thing we would say is anytime we went to say like we're at the airport and we're telling the customs people why we're here and where we're going, we'd say, oh, we're going to Yerucham, which is the town and the musical is based on, and it's this tiny town literally in the middle of nowhere. So we'd say, oh yeah, we're going to Yerucham, and they'd go, why? And then at the hotel, oh yeah, we're driving to Yerucham, why? Why? It's the end of the earth, why?
There's nothing
just completely
there.
Deadpan, and that was very funny. Everywhere we went, it was like that. Yeah.
Tony, you presumably couldn't go to Israel because you were on doing some TV show or a film or something, but you returned to the stage quite a lot. I just saw you in The Price, you know what, earlier this year.
Yes.
What keeps bringing you back?
I started out in the theater. I did nothing but theater for almost a decade. When I was a younger actor and before I kind of found myself doing film and television. And I spent a lot of time in Los Angeles and was doing films and TV and got away from theater for a number of years, too many years. Cause I like to feel, I always had that feeling that I wanted to move from one venue to another, you know, as consistently as I could. And then, but then there was a long stretch of time when my kids were younger and there was a lot of time when I didn't do plays. And I found myself missing it and feeling kind of some sort of strange guilt that I was being, you know, that I was, you know, I don't want to say selling out, but just that I was kind of losing that thing that I loved and was just frankly trained for. And so, in the last few years, I've been coming back to New York and doing more and more theater. And now I just seem to have the appetite to sort of more heavily weight it toward the theater. I can't explain why. It just feels like the right thing.
Yeah. And Katrina, you've had a hell of a year. You've, you did this show, right, off Broadway, and then you got to do Indecent again, which was also in which you were also had a standout performance, and now you're back doing this. What's that been like?
I try not to think about it too much. I'm just so thrilled and grateful to get to work on projects that I love and that like are so have so much to chew on and are so satisfying creatively and with so many brilliant artists involved.
Well, you know, it's funny, the three pieces that people are most likely to have seen you in, Once and Indecent and The Band's Visit, are all kind of a piece in a way, in that they're kind of subtle and a little bit off center and but still very deeply felt. Is that, does that tell us anything about the kind of work you're drawn to, or
I don't know. I
think it says a lot about her character and her, you know, her level of you know, dedication and integrity, and it just, I think there's just smart, I see very, very smart choices. Katrina, it's not just the choices, but it's the, you know, it's how she kind of enhances every project that she touches. No, it's true. It's really true.
You were doing this show in the fall of 2016, which was the only thing we could do was talk about politics. Did doing this show feel particularly relevant in that moment, and does it still?
Well, we were actually in tech for the off-Broadway production on November 9th. And so we felt that the play, you know, as we were in rehearsal and, you know, rehearsing in the theater and everything, we felt that it had importance and relevance and that was timely. And then that happened, and all of, and I think I've talked to many actors in over the last 12 months, the last 10 months, and who were doing plays, and they all changed. Everything changed, mm-hmm. and certainly our piece did. November 10th came, and we were in a different, it felt like we were in a different play. Did you feel that?
Yeah.
and now yeah. here we are 11 months later almost, and it's everything that's occurred, you know, here we are again in a different, it's nothing seems frozen, it just keeps opening up and getting a little more, you know, strange.
And the more divorced people get from each other, the more factions there are and more things you find like you don't have in common with your neighbors, say, mm-hmm. I think the
your
more
family,
your
even.
Family, even the more little gestures of, hey, you want to come over? You can stay here. We don't have to be friends, but you can stay here. That's important.
That's why it's
exactly
play,
what the band's visit.
Yeah.
This play is just so, I think, so kind of deeply important right now, because there's so much noise out there. There's so much division. There's so many people struggling in so many ways in so many areas, and this is a little bit of a respite from that, hopefully, and just the sheer volume, I mean volume in every sense of the word, loudness and an amount of crap that, you know, we're just getting bombarded with every day. This is a really nice antidote, I think, to that.
I think that's a great place to end this. Thank you both for being here. I really appreciate it. I look forward to seeing the show again.
Thank you.
That was Tony Shalhoub and Katrina Lenk, the two stars of The Band's Visit. They're part of a cast of 14 in a musical that has a book by the playwright Itamar Moses, who's also written for Boardwalk Empire, and a score by David Yazbek, who wrote the scores to The Full Monty, Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, and Women on the Verge of a Nervous Breakdown. The two of them are here now to tell us about the process of adapting The Band's Visit for the stage.
Hi, David Indermar. Thanks for joining me.
Hi, Gordon.
Hi there.
Although you've never worked together, I feel like you both tend to gravitate toward sources that might surprise a lot of people for adaptation into a musical. Like, you know, David, you did Women on the Verge of a Nervous Breakdown just recently, and Indermar, you did just a few years ago that really complicated Jonathan Lethem novel, Fortress of Solitude, which were, both of which were in their own ways surprising source materials for a musical.
Surprisingly lucrative. Well, that was one way.
To infer what your question is, I think, at least I can't speak for, I would love to speak for David, but just speaking for me, I think that musical, I think the reason that I'm drawn to what you might initially think are unusual subject matter for musicals is that musicals are a really, they're a really difficult form to get right. And there's something inherently, there's something that leans toward earnestness about the form. And I think a lot of times people make the mistake of choosing source material that is already something that presents itself as, oh, that should be a musical in a really obvious way, might actually be a huge trap where you're sort of doubling down on a kind of wet-eyed sincerity that's already in the material, and then you end up with like a hat on top of a hat. Whereas if you use something that's dark or ironic or that resists musicalization in certain ways, you end up with a tension that helps the thing work better.
There's two poles to it. That's one pole. And the other pole is, this could be really funny. You know, like, and then you just go with it. You know, but for me, you know, having done a lot of, not, I mean, I've only done, this is my fourth musical, but having just written a lot of stuff,
All right, because for people who don't know, you write all sorts of, you have albums out, and you've done stuff for film and TV.
Yeah,
and,
done right, a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
and right. I've also written scripts, and just the idea of taking, just the idea of feeling like something is going to be different, you know, mm-hmm. and it's the same way that I shop, like look around Spotify for music. You know, if there's something promises the taste of, oh my God, I said the taste of something different.
Oh.
That's a lyric in the
show.
That
is a lyric.
if something promises uniqueness or a difference, it's very attractive. So with the band's visit, you know, you was presented with the movie.
Mm-hmm.
You had probably already seen the movie.
I watched it for
you're
the first time.
You're a bad Jew. You're a bad Jew.
And so, well, wait, tell me, before we talk about what you talked about on the phone call, mm-hmm. how did you end up on the phone with each other? Did someone bring you
the producer? The producer of the show, Orrin Wolf, this is his baby for a long time.
Yeah.
And he had tried some other... what did it was
yeah, well,
like?
So he claims, and I've no reason to doubt him.
He's a liar, too. Yeah. I mean, he's a great producer.
Yeah, he's a part real of liar. Why he's a great producer.
That's what I was going to say.
He saw the movie in, I think, something called the Other Israel Film Festival, which happens every year up at the JCC on the Upper West Side. And he says that he walked out of the theater seeing that screening, which would have been 10 years ago, let's say, give or take, and said, this has to be on stage. For whatever reason, he saw it on stage. And I think initially he tried to do it just as a play, and then later he decided, no, this should be a musical, at which point that was, I think, when the two of us were contacted, when they were trying to consider book writers and composers. And so that was how we ended up on the phone together, was like we were, I guess, the two people that... We tell ourselves we were the two people they wanted to hire.
And Indermar, you had never seen it before.
I knew of
but,
it.
Okay, but you had seen it, didn't
you? No, I hadn't.
Oh,
no,
you hadn't, okay.
No, I was told, sent the DVD...
Right,
and watched it, and I was left with a feeling of this really interesting feeling of this is all about music. It's got to be a musical. There's a way to do this, but I think it's kind of impossible. But I think it might be possible.
Yeah,
and then we had that was the conversation.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I feel like makes this musical so unusual is that it's a sound that I can't remember ever hearing on stage before. I mean, do you know of another, David, have you in,
not,
you're thinking
not,
about
it, not that it honors the actual,
yeah, right,
you know, not that's
it,
you know.
It's a tradition and a sound palette that you really don't come across on stage.
No,
that's, it's exciting,
it's true. I mean, it's it is something you don't hear, but it's also one of the things that excited me about doing this is I knew from an early age that this is a kind of music that's universal. It's not so foreign that it'll land on ears that can't accept it. Like some people could never listen to Chinese opera, me being one
right,
of them.
Right. Were you familiar with this music?
Yes.
Much.
My father's father lived in Lebanon.
Mm. And oh, wow.
We'd visit him when I was a kid. And the first time I heard my father's Lebanese, my mother's not Jewish. And they just listened to, Cole Porter and Bobby Short and show tunes, some jazz. So I hadn't heard any of that stuff at home. But when we went to Lebanon, I have a very strong memory of being in a cab and hearing what the cab driver was listening to. And I remember very clearly learning that it was Umm Kulthum, who was the great singer, great Middle Eastern singer, the most famous singer in the world at the time. And
who figures into the lyrics of the
yeah,
of your show.
Yeah. So there's there's definitely sense memory there. But I've always listened to that kind of music. Not, one twentieth of my listening, but everything is 1/20th of my listening. And I understood that those were modalities that could affect everybody.
Mm-hmm. And there's a kind of hush about this musical that is unusual, and it leaves a lot of things unsaid. Itamar, for you as a writer, what's that like to kind of tell things without actually telling things?
It's what you always want to do as a writer. But it's interesting because I worked, as you said, I worked on a couple of musicals before this. And early on in those experiences that you would come across people, who you're working on it with or who are you're trying to get to produce it or whatever, who will say things like, oh, well, yes, in a play, that's how you do it. You'd be subtle in that way. But in a musical, you have to do it this way. And I sort of came to, at least for myself, feel like that wasn't true, that I wanted to be able to write the same way that I would in a play, that was more interesting to me. And also the movie is so elliptical and it's so spare that I wanted to honor that. Like, I didn't want to create something that was completely inorganic.
When I'm watching a movie or a play or reading a play, if I'm not seeing a masterful use of subtext, then I'm not really seeing a good writer. And there's a lot of that, especially in the musical theater. And that's one of the things that's different about this show. The hush that you're describing, that's subtext. Mm-hmm. And if you're sitting there and watching something happening on stage and feeling the intensity of the emotion is much greater because it's not shoved in your face. You don't have characters weeping so that you're weeping. You have characters making you weep because you're relating to something unspoken.
And to return to that first phone call that we had, that was one of the subjects of it, was that the reason to do it as a musical was that the songs were what would explore poetically and musically and lyrically those vast internal spaces so that the dialogue doesn't have to. I mean, partly it's that most of the dialogue is in a language that for everyone is their second language. Everyone's communicating cross-culturally in English. So
that seems like a challenge to write as well, actually.
It's actually an enormous gift because any formal constraint is actually super helpful. So there's nothing more paralyzing than total creative freedom, right? So that was a very fun game to play. That when they speak within their culture, they'll speak in Hebrew, they'll speak in Arabic, but all the important conversations will be the ones we, the audience, can understand.
Also, we made up all the Hebrew and Arabic. That's not really Hebrew and Arabic.
Right, no, that's what we thought.
We just sat there going...
Yeah, we figure no one will. In New York, who could possibly... The opposite of that is true. There's several Israelis in the cast, some Arabs.
Yeah, we have a lot of vetting.
Get a lot of fact checkers, yeah, that's right. And... There's a lot of improvisation in the score, from what I understand. Or is it a lot? I don't know. I know that there is improvisation. I don't feel like that's not a thing that happens. David barely wrote any music. Yeah, that's right.
That's what I figured.
We made up the languages.
Yeah.
Good job, Lazy Bones.
Yeah.
I just hired good musicians. Just let them play anything they want. Yeah. Well, there's almost no improvisation in musical theater because usually there can't be.
Right.
Everything is this big machine that's working in a certain way on a certain timeline, and if you get something wrong, you're off the train, you know, you're flying off the train with centrifugal force. So, but I've always tried to, in all my shows, include something so that the pit musicians don't get bored. So, for instance, the Full Monty, I wrote an overture specifically to be, it has nothing to do with the show, it's just this exciting sort of swing jazz thing that gives the pit musicians a chance to solo. So with this show, it's different though, because there's a tradition of improvisational.
And the band is on stage, we should say, for the people who haven't seen it yet, right?
Almost always, right?
Yeah.
There's a uniformed Egyptian band. Mm-hmm. They are characters in the show.
Right.
Most of those guys are also world-class musicians. And when I say world-class, I mean, I'm not exaggerating. These are great, great musicians. And almost all of them are amazing improvisers. So we have to take advantage of that. And there's a lot of musical improvisation, and you don't get to see that.
Yeah, there's within numbers, and then also there's a couple of just instrumental numbers in the show that are built to my ear as like they're like, it's like jazz in the sense that it's sort of based around a certain structure, but then they each take a solo and it's different literally every time.
Yeah.
And but yet they all come back to the same place at the end of those moments of improvisation.
Well, it's like I've written a song, there's a melody, maybe the different parts of a melody, and then there's room for soloing.
You guys went to Israel, correct? Did you go several times? We went recently.
No, we went. I mean, I had been before because my parents are Israeli and I have relatives there. So we took a trip recently with some of the actors and musicians
and
for a couple of days. Yeah.
Tell me about that. What did you learn? What in particular?
I wrote a song. I wrote a new piece.
When was this? When would this have been?
This was a few weeks ago.
Okay.
You know, we're driving around. We're in a van. We're going out into the Negev to the town that the movie was shot in, Yerucham. Mm. And a long trip.
Yerucham.
Yeah. Sorry. And there's a and we have instruments in the car. And George Abood was there. He's one of the actors, but he's also a great actor and he's very funny and he's an amazing. Violinist and oud player. So we had an oud in the car, we had a violin, we had several darbukas, which are drums. So we were playing all the time. And at some point, I'm not a very good oud player, but I grabbed George's oud.
What's an oud?
It's like a lute. It looks like a lute.
Including me, frankly.
It looks like a big lute with a big, it's a beautiful instrument.
So it's a string instrument then.
It's a string instrument. Okay. Played like a guitar, no frets. And I just started playing it, and something came out, and now it's a song that they play in the show. That wouldn't have happened had we not had that atmosphere, those people. There was the desert outside the window. For me, that was the big, that made the whole trip worth it. And what we did there is we played a little mini concert where George and Katrina and I played some music and sang a little bit, and Ari sang, Ari Stashel, who plays the young guy. Yeah. And then we had some local musicians and students play, and then we all played together, and you really got the sense of connecting on a human level in the middle of a desert.
Yeah.
Pretty neat.
It was like a less upsetting version of the dueling banjos from from Deliverance, where it was like dueling ouds.
I can't wait to see it again. Thanks for being here, you guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Nice to talk to you. That was David Yazbek and Itamar Moses, the songwriter and book writer of the Broadway musical The Band's Visit, now playing on Broadway. And that's all for this episode of Stagecraft. Be here next time when I'll be talking to Tracy Letts, the Pulitzer and Tony winning writer and actor. Until then, thanks for joining me, and see you at the theater.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah,
not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.